Primero Dios, God first. It's a phrase that I learned when I came to this parish from our Mexican community, oftentimes said at the end of a conversation, alluding to the idea that hopefully, God allow it, it will happen. Primero Dios. But literally translated, it means God first. And that has always stuck with me. God first, above all things, before all things, for myself and for all. But we live in a world and a culture where it's me first, not God first. It's all about, as I call it, the unholy trinity of me, myself, and I. Nothing else matters. That is the greatest God in my life. We'd never probably say that out loud, especially if we think ourselves a Christian, but it shows in how we live. Me first. We see James's description of those who live from a disposition of me first. Conflicts and passions and war and possessions and envy and fighting and jealousy. Me first, in sincerity, in constancy. When we live a life of me first, every disorder and foul practice and selfish ambition and jealousy comes to the fore. You come home from work and you're exhausted, but your wife may be more tired. And she cooks and she cleans and you eat and you sit down and you watch TV and you don't lift a finger to help her. You don't sit down and talk with your kids. You don't help them with their homework. You tell them to be quiet and you focus on your show, me first. You come home from school and you're tired. It's been a long day and your parents need help around the house or cleaning your room or putting things away or helping with the laundry or talking with your siblings. How was your day? How was school? Tell me about your friends. But no, you'd rather only take a nap and not interact with anyone or go to your room or focus on your cell phone, and it's me first. When we live a life of me first, we end up being very isolated and alone. Even if we live with a family, even if our house is full, so often our life of me first leads to the disruptions and misery that marks our lives. When it's me first and the Broncos are playing during Mass, we stay home and watch it on TV, or we endure the brutal freezing rain to watch it at the stadium and we don't go to Mass. Me first. But primero Dios, God first, is a very different way of being and living that Christ calls us to today. It's the apostles lived a me-first mentality. We see it in the gospel. I'm not condemning any of you. The apostles made that same mistake. We see in the gospel how Jesus takes them aside privately and tells them for the second time in Mark's gospel at this moment, chapter 9, that I am going to be arrested and killed, and then I'm going to resurrect from the dead in 3 days. That's never happened before. The apostles hear him. They don't understand, but they're too afraid to ask. And then they start arguing about who's going to be more important when Jesus is dead. It's like a mom who comes home from the doctor's with her husband and sits the kids down and full of tears and sobbing tells them, I've been diagnosed with terminal cancer. I've got 6 months to live. The doctors say it's going to be a horrible, painful, slow death, but there's nothing they can do. And the kids respond by saying, well, then who's going to cook us dinner and wash our clothes and make our bed and take us to school when you're dead? Can you imagine? Me first. We only think about ourselves. We see that in the life of the parish. So many Catholics live a me first mentality. They come to Mass to get what they want or what they need, and they leave, and they don't lift a finger to help or to serve or volunteer in any way, shape, or form. It's a consumerist mentality that we've turned religion into. It's why Protestant churches are packed. They hear what they want to hear. They're not challenged. They're entertained. And they go home. It's like a live concert or a TV show. And so they pay. It's a consumer's mentality. They give some money. They figure it's a good, fair exchange. But it's a me-first mentality. What can I get out of this? What am I going to get from you, Jesus? The apostles thinking. How can I become important when you're gone? Because you don't matter. How I live and how I'm going to be matters. It's me first. But Jesus comes embodying this mentality of, no, God first. When God is first, our prayer is not only, Lord, help me with this, help me with that. good, decent, legitimate prayers for health, for stability, for healing of people who are sick, for healing of our marriages, praying for our kids, our parents, all legitimate good reasons and things to pray for. But the more we live a lifestyle of God first, we realize, as he's told us time and again, God already knows what we need before we ask him. And so our prayer is first and foremost, Lord, what do you want from me today? How can I serve you? What is your will for me? Show me the path to true happiness. And he does, by way of the cross. He shows us that when we die to our own ambitions and the me-first mentality, and we put God first, there is a death to self. But in that dying, as in the grain of wheat, we come to a new life where we're free from all these selfish ambitions and disorders, where serving others fulfills us and brings us joy, even though we're exhausted and tired, that we can find peace and purpose and the goal and desire of heaven, even in the face of death. Yes, Jesus cried at the death of Lazarus, but at the core of those tears was a firm belief and hope in life everlasting, from heaven, from which he came, to which he has returned. I remember celebrating funerals over my years, and I've done wake services where it just felt so horrifically heavy and miserable and hopeless. These were people that it was very clear didn't pray or practice the faith at all. And my words quoting scripture and my preaching and praying with them didn't appear to be any consolation whatsoever. I can't begin to imagine the darkness and emptiness of a faithless life, coupled with the inevitable death and suffering. Everyone will die, from the most wealthy, Bill Gates, Elon Musk, to the poorest. Nothing can prevent that from happening. Although people effectively, in their own minds, try to escape the fear, the concern, and the anxiety by masking it with drugs and alcohol, sex, and all other kinds, forms of addiction and distraction, our cell phones, etc., countless hours on social media and the internet, posting fake book things. But ultimately, we're marked and called to make a decision today. What were you arguing about on the way? Do you know Christians, before they were called Christians, around 150, 160 AD, in Antioch, what is modern-day Turkey, they were called the Nazarenes, after Jesus of Nazareth. They were also called followers of the way. They weren't yet called Christians. And here we have an interesting play on word in Mark's gospel. What were you arguing about on the way? Well, the way they were going was a me-first way. Who's more important? Who's going to be in charge when Jesus is dead? Who cares what he said? What about me? What am I going to get out of this? I've sacrificed a lot. Where am I going to be? That's the way of me first. The way of the Christian is God first. And Jesus tells us, what does that look like when we put God first? We become the last of all, the servant of all. Death brings us tears. We hurt in the face of injustice. We suffer in the face of suffering. We do experience all the emotions that are natural and appropriate for difficult experiences, but it's always upon the foundation of a hope rooted in faith of the promise of Christ in the life to come. When we put God first, we may still do what we do in terms of sacrificing and serving our family, but we're no longer resentful when they don't appreciate it and when they don't give back, because we're not living out of an exchange. I did this for you. What are you going to do for me? Otherwise, what's the point of us being together? Like so many quote-unquote marriages today of people who don't even marry civilly or are just only married civilly, being Catholic and not married validly at all, according to the faith. It's an exchange. It's a barter. It's a business contract and agreement of which the children are the first and greatest victims. Because when the exchange no longer is equal or we find a better offer, we up and leave and move on. And the children are left with their world shattered and destroyed. A me-first mentality. But when we put God first, even when we're not appreciated, when we do so much and nothing is given in return, we find a joy and fulfillment in it because we do it for him who sees in secret and will repay us as Jesus tells us. When we live as a child, meaning completely dependent upon God, we become detached. And so whether there is sickness or persecution or illness or the sword, as Paul says, we are more than conquerors in Christ, because even in the face of these difficulties in this life, we live for God first and for heaven above all things. We suffer, but we're detached, and we find joy and peace even in the face of the challenges that are inevitable in this life. We see in the Book of Wisdom the anticipation and the prophecy of what Christ himself would suffer, putting God first. Let us beset the just one. He's obnoxious to us. He reproaches our transgressions and charges us. So let us deliver him to the hand of his foes with revilement and torture. Let us put the just one to the test and prove his gentleness and patience. Let us condemn him to a shameful death. It's what Christ says in the gospel will happen to the apostles. But they haven't yet converted, even though they follow him. You're here, you're following him. But the apostles did the same thing, but their hearts were not converted. And so even though they were literally in his presence, as you are now, they still were operating out of a me-first mentality. It took the passion, death, and resurrection of Christ, and then the descent of the Holy Spirit to completely turn that around. From Peter, as we heard last week, telling Jesus, God forbid you should suffer and die. And Jesus having to tell him, get behind me, Satan. From having Peter deny Jesus three times the night of his arrest to ultimately being crucified for him and considering himself unworthy to die in like manner, insisted he be crucified upside down. That radical change of way of being in the life of Peter and all the other apostles was when they finally made that fundamental and conscientious decision, filled with the gift of the Holy Spirit that we receive at baptism and confirmation, to decide, me first doesn't work. It makes me more lonely, more angry, more miserable. Why don't I choose God first? And in dying to myself, see the fruits of the resurrection in his life so that I can live heroically in service for others. Because at the end of the day, when we live God first, nothing else matters. So at the end of the day, with each action, with each decision, we make a choice for God in service to others. We put God first. Primero Dios.